Trexploration.
Hello and welcome back to Trexploration. I'm Albie.
And I'm Chris, and
designed by Hero Shot Doug Drexler.
I just finished the Zindi arc.
Oh, did you?
And I am so into Enterprise now. I think it's the Zindi arc is maybe some of the finest Star Trek ever made.
Wow.
I'm going to stand by it. I know it's controversial.
Is that what
it's controversial to like Enterprise?
Is that what you thought when you first went through the Zindi arc, or did you think, ah, another one?
Ah, okay. The Zindi arc, the first time I saw it, I had COVID. So.
Oh, we watched it different decades then.
Yes, I was. I saw bits and pieces of it when it was live. Hi, there he is, Roll for Turaco.
Roll for Turaco, Ruffalo Taco. Hooray!
Thank you, Ruffalo Taco. I did watch a lot of it when it was on UPN, but he's making a peanut butter and jelly toasty sandwich. I think he's just PB&J that he's not on mic with
us. That sounds good.
I think. He's all peanut butter and jelly.
I never made mine on toast. Well, I might have made mine on toast. You know what's good? A peanut butter and jelly burger. If you haven't tried it, you got to try it.
I don't like peanut butter and stuff.
Really?
Isn't that weird? I love peanut butter, like on white bread, like especially like a chunky peanut butter.
Peanut butter ice cream.
You dip it in pea soup. That's really good.
I'll try it.
Yeah, split pea soup. Yeah,
peanut butter and jelly burger for real.
Like in stuff, I can't do it. I don't know. I don't know why.
Zindi
I don't like Reese's. You can have all my Reese's.
Okay.
Zindi.
Oh my goodness, I had one on Halloween.
Mistake. Oh, it's all sugar.
And it's the tiny one, but still.
Yeah. They make them, you've been here in Sayville, where I live, right?
Mm-hmm.
The chocolatier makes their own peanut butter cups. They're like this big.
Oh, wow. I would have to dial 9-1 before I eat that.
Right. They have milk chocolate and dark chocolate. So have the dark chocolate one. You'll be all right.
If they make one with mostly sucralose, I could do it.
So Zindi arc. Yeah, I saw a lot of it when it was on UPN way back in the aughts, right?
During the Captain Video.
During Captain Video. But then I didn't really get into Enterprise until I started watching it when I was sick with the COVID. I was had the Rona, mm-hmm. and I was quarantined in a hotel room a few miles from my house. And my existence was
futile
in that room, not able to smell my own farts. Mm. And my own cooking. Laura would come once a day and stand outside the window. Like, my window was facing the parking lot, so she would face the window.
Okay, tell the story slowly, because I remember the movie Bubble Boy or whatever. That was good. What is that, Tawny Kitaen?
Okay, Tawny Kitaen wasn't anywhere to be seen.
No, but Laura, Dr. Laura.
So she would open the trunk of my car, and then I would run down there and grab all the food out of the trunk of my car, and then I'd run back up and wave to her again out the window. So
not as sexy as I pictured it, but
yeah. Alternatively, like exhausted and restless, and when I wasn't editing like hours and hours of the Quantum Leap podcast, I was watching Enterprise and Supernatural. Mm-hmm. So I burned through Enterprise, the entire series, while I was there. And I didn't realize how good it was because I had finally been able to sit down and watch it. So,
the virus that took over your mind and body like it.
It could have been. It could have been. I think it might have been. Mm-hmm. So I was watching that, but I just watched it again. I just got done with the Zindi arc season 3.
And you like it?
I love it. I love it.
What if I like it if I go through it again?
You can, you're allowed. You're allowed to do that.
I mean, I binge things now, so as long
I know that I've been like the Enterprise guy on this show. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you like Enterprise in general because it's Star Trek.
I love Enterprise.
But, I mean, when's the last time you did like an Enterprise
rewatch? 9 years ago, I did all the way through.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Rennie was 3, and she would watch every episode with me.
That's when I had COVID 9 years ago.
So we watched it last at the same time. Oh, no, you're watching it now again. Okay.
I just finished, like I said, I finished just this week. I finished the season 3.
So you got 4 to go, right?
Season 4 to go. And I got to tell you, people really, really like to hate on the series finale. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, the season 4 premiere is kind of dog shit. Just saying. But what are you going to do? They can't all be winners, you know? So
yeah, I like it in general.
Me too.
Albie, you should try a PB&J on a soft taco. I'm a weird person. I don't like soft tacos. To me, they're flavorless, and they're just like a waste of carbs.
I see. I like them because they're like a platform on which you can put anything. Mm-hmm. The only other, there are soft tacos, but they make those really like the authentic ones that are like really corn, like they're all corn. I don't like those. Mm-hmm. I rather would have like a Taco Bell soft taco because it's almost like it's like a wrap, you know? It's
somebody
like a wrap.
Me a soft taco. I'm like, this is taco ingredients inside of a pancake that don't taste like anything.
Exactly. That's why it's so damn good.
No. I need that crunch of the Taco Bell crunchy taco. Supreme.
So do you guys have taco night? Do you pass the old El Paso?
Oh, yeah. We do the whole thing.
Ortega.
Did you watch that Doug Drexler video where he was
scrolling? I saw a bunch of it today at work, but then I had to turn it off.
Yeah, you got to watch it on the big screen.
But this thing is like, it's like he has an enterprise that's like an XO1 enterprise anyway. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's kind of like life size. It's really
it's
cool.
About 6 feet, I'd say. He has the files because he designed it and he sent it to a guy that 3D printed it from those files and put it all together. Uh-huh. Wow. I was like,
right.
I could do that.
So when I say life size, I mean, if you're 2.5 inches tall.
Yeah. I mean, Doug, don't hate me. Maybe I get the files. I don't know. But there are files out there with, you know, that are mostly accurate. They're not Doug Drexler.
Do you have contact with Doug Drexler?
Not directly, but, you know.
You could probably do it.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, remember, like, I met you at Vegas once, like everybody else? speaking of, I know we're talking about Star Trek Con 8 and 9, Original Sin and Eternity.
Yes, that's right. Space. Yes, we should probably tell people.
But I think this takes precedent. When you meet a Starfleet captain in the last few days. I think we need the story. I think we need the story so we can all live vicariously through you.
Vicariously through me. Wait, let me put the Enterprise back.
You might need it.
All right. I'll keep it down.
Yeah, because that when that song comes up, you're going to have to show it again.
Do, 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 do. So, yeah, there was a recent trip to New York City where you don't get PB&J soft tacos.
So that was close for you.
Yeah, it was close for me. Yeah. About an 80-minute train ride in.
It's not bad.
So this was a long time coming. I think we mentioned it maybe on the last show that we did. When was it? You know, 15 years ago when we last were on the air.
I looked and it said last time we uploaded something was 10 days ago. And that makes sense because I was sick. Rennie came home with a sniffle.
Uh-oh.
And her sniffle turned into a man cold that I got.
That's awful.
And I was out for over a week. I mean, I was trying my best, but I was just spewy. If you know that Chris Elliott TV series where Spewy was a guest star, that was me. And I really couldn't get anything done. And there were some nights where I was like, we can do it. And then I would text you last moment. I was kidding myself. I can't do it.
We're just going to pass out. So,
but now I'm fully healed.
That's why we went through weeks of con without any kind of releasing.
Praise the immune system.
Woo! And then you were okay, and then I started feeling bad. And then, you know, we just got – it was kind of a scene, man. It was just like –
it was something. I think we both got the same virus.
Stars were not aligning. Stars were not aligning.
You know what finally got me out of the house?
The transdimensional aliens trying to sabotage your warp drive.
Almost.
Oh, okay.
No, the warp drive here is pretty good, but I'm just in geostationary orbit, so. But it was, if there was ever a double feature in the movie theater made for me.
Gasp.
My favorite two movies, When Harry Met Sally and Back to the Future, were both playing at the same time in the movie theater. So I was like, I guess I'm going out. So Rennie and I went and saw a double feature. We got the popcorn, the nachos, the pretzel bites, the ices, the sodas.
Nice.
We brought Halloween candy with us, but we still spent, you know, money. So I don't think they were complaining.
There you go.
But yeah, it was a great double feature. I mean, two better perfect movies. I don't know if you could find them, at least in my opinion.
I can't imagine a better night for you, quite frankly.
The only thing I thought is, like, what if they were also playing Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan? You know, and it was a triple feature. You know,
but and they were listening to the con audio drama the whole time anyway. Because
I was in the car on the way there and on the way home.
There you go. So
that's when I was listening.
They sort of were doing it.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit. But it was a great night. Second time Rennie saw When Harry Met Sally. I think 350th for me, thereabouts.
And also you reenacted some of it when we were in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right? Yeah. So it was in the theater. It was just me and Rennie, of course, front row center, because that's where we sit everywhere we go.
Right. And with these stiff necks going like this.
And there was like one older lady in the back of the theater, and we really looked close at her just to make sure it wasn't Meg Ryan, like on vacation or something, checking out. But it wasn't. But that would have been cool. I would have been like, hey, come sit with us. Anyway.
Yes, I'll have what you're having.
I'll have what you're having. Like every time a location came on that you took us to on that tour, we were like, we were there.
I'm glad I could facilitate.
Even the hot dog cart.
Yes, the one hot dog cart.
Yeah.
That's in Manhattan.
So it was a good night, and I got out, and you know, it got me out of the house, and now I'm doing better and feeling better. I went grocery shopping today. But okay, now your story.
My story.
Yes.
Is it really such a story?
You met a Starfleet captain. Can you talk to us about that?
All right. So I don't know if you know this, but there's a guy. His name is Scott Bakula.
Wow.
And he used to star in a little show called Quantum Leap.
Wow.
And then he was in Eisenhower and Lutz.
Yep.
And then he was in Gung Ho.
Yep.
And then he was in Designing Women.
Wow.
And then he was in NCIS New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And then he was in a show called Enterprise. Not necessarily in this order. He was in one of those. But so Scott has, as you all know, been returning to the stage with regularity, I would say, at this point, right? Yeah. We saw him a few years ago in The Connector. I saw him twice in that. That was a show in New York City. Then we saw him again.
Me too. I saw him once.
Yeah, you and me. I saw him in Connector twice. I saw it.
That was lovely.
Then we saw him in New Hampshire. We saw him in Man of La Mancha.
Yep, three times in a row.
Then I only saw it the one time, but I met Scott once there.
Yeah.
And then we, you guys, well, not you and me, but our Bakulites saw him in. Albie, you there?
Yep.
Okay. Your picture went away.
Oh, okay.
Our Bakulites saw him in Mr. Lincoln. It was a one-man show, yes. Abraham Lincoln in D.C.
That was about a year ago when I was in intensive care unit, the ICU.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it either. I was in the UCU, the uncaring unit.
Hopefully there's a recording somewhere.
There might be. I don't know. And so this is something we have a thread with leapers, like Scott Bakula fans and leapers, where they get like this advance word. I guess JD Schwartz keeps them in the loop. JD is Scott's publicist.
He's a great
guy. Scott is in a new show in Manhattan called The Baker's Wife. They're in previews now, and it was only supposed to go for 6 or 8 weeks, but it's been like extended through the end of December.
Oh, great.
Like it's been doing well. So I think they're selling the tickets and things are going okay. But they did another, basically, it wasn't specifically for, but they invited the Quantum Leap fans.
Yeah, it was like Leaper Day or something, right?
Right, right. So like to a show, a matinee. Leapers got like a code so that it was just like you get advanced like ticketing so that you could get a seat to go in. So that's what we did. And it was this nice little theater in the East Village.
Oh,
and
nice.
I went out there and I met a bunch of people who you may or may not know from our Quantum Leap days. Mm-hmm. That includes Suzanne Smiley.
Yay.
Who was on the Quantum Leap podcast.
Love her.
Dave and Stacy from the TV show.
What up, Dave?
TV Deep Dive, Table Talk.
Dave's House and Garage.
Right. Al's Place
DVD TV podcast, which they reviewed.
Corman Productions Deep Dive TV podcast.
I just listened to their Time Cut episode. Go check that out. It's really good.
Nice. So Dave and Stacy were there. Also met Brian Greene.
Wow.
For the
I'm a big
third
fan
time
of Brian
ever.
Greene.
Brian Greene, who is
again
literally the keeper of the Quantum Leap Flame,
yes.
the founder of the Al's Place website.
He's like the king. Brian. I'm like the Duke of Oil.
So Duke. Hey, Vic,
Duke of Oil.
We need some oil. We need some oil. That's a
oil.
Name. Duke of Oil. Name the movie, The Man with Two Brains.
Yes.
I love that.
Love that.
I love that movie. I love that brain.
It's great
you
movie.
Cooked her nines. Okay. And also, I met the creator of the hand link prop, which you see right here over my
shoulder.
Morgan Felden. Do you know Morgan is like really tall?
I did not. I've spent many hours on Zoom with him and, you know, doing different podcasts with him. I had no idea. I got the picture of like him and Stacy, and I was like,
yeah.
Is he 6'7"? 6'7". And he is. He literally is. Now,
I think he's about 6'8". Yeah.
He did some really cool for Dragon Con. He did some really cool Frankenstein cosplay, and now it all makes sense.
Ah, okay. Because usually when I see Morgan cosplaying, he is cosplaying as Gushy.
Yes,
because he's got the hand link and he's got like the double button collar and the whole Jean-Pierre Dorliac stuff going on. So I mean, so Morgan, it was great to meet him. So yeah, we had Dave, Stacy's husband, Brian
Dave
Green,
Adam.
Suzanne Smiley, Morgan Feldman, and yeah, and it was just a lot of fun. And whom else am I forgetting? I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. And me,
somebody,
I was there.
Somebody came with Stacy and Dave and Brian, didn't they? And Adam,
yeah, Stacy's husband.
Yeah, but wasn't there somebody else in the car?
There was. Hi, Donna. Donna says hello.
Hey, Donna. Oh, Donna.
Donna. Donna. Donna, is this Donna Alisi?
It could be. Burger Theory.
I don't think I could stand it if you left me again. who else am I missing? I know. I'm thinking. There was, yeah.
Well, Scott Morgan was there. JD was there. But they didn't roll with the guys. Did they go to dinner the after? No, Scott had another performance, right?
He had another performance. So this is what happened. So we were all in the theater. I met Mindy Peterman again, who I haven't seen in years. She's a fellow Quantum Leap author. She wrote Song and Dance. It was nice to see Mindy.
Oh, nice. And we haven't interviewed her, have we?
Yes, we did, actually. I think Hayden must have.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. I edited it. Okay.
Hayden did a little while back. So, nice. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody that was
that lady that met us in what's her name?
Karen Saxon.
Karen, thank you.
Karen, yes,
I follow her on everywhere.
Karen, you're the good. I saved the best for last. We were having a really nice conversation, Karen and I. So.
She is lovely. I love her, and I follow her and her family. Just good people.
Yes, One Hope Wine with Karen. Yes, she's
yes. Ruffalo Taco says he has a daughter named Donna, and he sings "Oh Donna" to her often.
Oh,
shout out to all the parents
Donna.
Out there.
Oh, so anyway, yeah. So Scott had a show. It was a matinee, and then they arranged the Q&A afterwards. You know, like they do. Like mm-hmm. It's the Scott and Jay show. We've seen it before, but he really was. This one was kind of tight. They had everybody sit on one corner of the theater, and they kept it pretty short. But it was really, really interesting. You know, as a fan of both Quantum Leap and Enterprise,
you don't
want to ask the same four questions over and over again. So Enterprise did come up. There was a 16-year-old in the audience whose favorite show is now Enterprise.
It's a great
show. And I believe they were also from St. Louis, and Scott's from St. Louis.
Yeah,
so
Windy City.
He was like, oh, my God, you love Enterprise. City Tell me Archer. All about it.
You City know? Of Archer?
One Arch.
One Arch.
Right? The St. Louis Archer.
Have you been up in it? I haven't.
I have, yeah. I went to school in Missouri, remember? So
oh,
I was
right.
actually up there before Laura was Dr. Laura, and she was afraid to go up there, and we were going up this little elevator to go, and they have like these little cars that, so it's like
Does
these
the elevator go like sideways?
It's not really an elevator. It's like you sit in like this round cart, and then as it goes up, it rotates a little bit. It's like this really weird thing. And when Laura was just like to this guy that was in there with us, she's like, what's it like? And he's like, oh, don't worry. The wind blows a lot, but there are a couple of fences. You'll be okay. Of course, it's completely closed in. You know, and you can lean like on these plexiglass windows and look down the whole nine. But yeah, so I've been to the St. Louis Arch. And that's when I first discovered that Scott Bakula was from St. Louis, because I had friends from Missouri who said, oh, you know, Scott Bakula's from St. Louis. And I know his family. And I'm like, okay, introduce me.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And how did the guy singing know about how Donna broke their heart?
That's true.
What Donna said. Donna, I think maybe you broke their heart.
Time travel.
So, Wait, I got to dismiss. This tab is slowing my browser. I don't know why
is. So Donna says, yeah, I watched the
post the interview with Scott. So I guess it went up. So yeah. Dave and Stacy were recording everything.
There's more to come, and but there's some stuff out.
Yeah, they put some stuff out. There's
the
some
QLP
stuff
and
the street
DVD,
out front of the theater.
TV viewing
yes.
Podcast.
And so it was great. And I was able to ask Scott a question about the actual play, because now I've seen him in enough stuff besides Quantum Leap and Enterprise where I was able to ask him about the production. And that's what I was getting at. I mean, there were some fans there. Somebody talked about Quantum Leap. Somebody talked about Enterprise. Somebody talked about Starfleet United, the possible Archer spinoff, to which he said, and I quote, this is a scoop. They're just rumors.
Okay.
That's it. Uh-huh. People will talk about it. They're just rumors. That's all he said. So that, to me, says there's stuff going on.
Maybe. I don't know. The news I saw about Paramount lately.
Paramount, what have you done for me lately, Paramount?
Yeah. The word is they're going to just start fresh, like draw a line.
Yeah. They want to. Well, I mean, that's the cinematic. There's no more Kelvin stuff coming out.
No. Right? Academy gets two seasons, so we'll get those. I'm looking forward to those.
Right. And then they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, Star Trek United might be in the mix.
I'll watch. Take my money.
I'll watch.
Chris, $100 bills, forking them over.
Here we go. So, yeah. So I got to ask him, I think, what was a pretty good question about this production and other productions I've seen him in, which was about choreography and the band. And if you can't see the orchestra, what do you do? And he said it was. So you'll see it on Dave and Stasis if you go to the Cormier Productions YouTube site.
And I think there's a super edit coming of everything.
Right. So there should be a bunch of stuff.
So make sure you subscribe to the Quantum Leap podcast, Dave and Stacy, and every place else.
So, go look for that. We'll put a link in it somewhere around here at some point. And then he had the meet and greet afterwards.
Nice.
So Jay was just like, I love you guys, but I hate you guys, because there was a line around like this small theater to see Scott. He's just like, he's got a half an hour. Keep it tight. So I kept it tight. I mean, you know,
sign this, get a picture.
I didn't even introduce myself as Chris from the Quantum Leap podcast so he could be gracious and pretend to remember me.
Oh yeah.
I just, Oh, hi. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. No, I didn't even put him through that.
Did he say, don't you get tired of me yet?
So, no, he didn't say anything like that.
See, I'm a unique-looking person, I found. I'm like Quasimodo.
I thought I was unique, but I'm not that unique. So
no, you're a general handsome white dude.
You know what I do? I don't, like, when I go to the city, I don't bring stuff in because I hate carrying crap in the city.
Right.
But I kept this in my pocket because my goal was to have Mr. Scott Bakula.
Wow.
Sign my hand link, baby.
That's so gorgeous. Chris,
thank you, Scotty Bax. And it even says right there, Scotty Bax.
He knew your name.
Right?
Chris. So, Scotty Bax.
He's like, what's your name? And I'm like, Chris. He's like, hey, I'm Scotty Bax. How are you? Like, yeah, I know. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, Scotty Bax signed my hand link. So that to me was a special thrill. So, I'll go see him in anything. Hey, Chuck. Chuck says hi. Hi, guys.
Hello,
and everyone.
Chuck. Welcome.
It's nice to see everybody. TNG fanfic Chuck A.
Woo!
Nice to
Chuck.
Thank you for joining us live.
You're on
Trek Exploration.
I'm a Trekaholic, and we're Trek Explorers.
So, we're loving it. So, yeah, so I got to see Scotty Bax, and then
Captain Archer.
Yeah, Captain Archer. Do 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 do. Anyway, so then we went to Times Square because Brian has never been to New York City, so he wanted to see the stuff. So Brian had a great day. He drove in with Dave and Stacy and Stacy's husband,
right?
Who I'll never remember is Adam, right? Adam.
No mustache. Didn't he have a mustache in where was it?
Maybe. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's say he did.
Okay.
Because why not?
Yeah.
But so Brian had four things on his list. He wanted to see Tom Sander from Seinfeld.
Right.
He wanted to see the Ghostbusters Firehouse. He wanted to see the World Trade Center Memorial. Oh. And he wanted to see the Statue of Liberty. Those were the only things that he really
wanted. Did you see that all in one day,
or
did you just take him to Times Square and say,
yes, no, he was able to do it. So what they did was they're coming in from Connecticut.
Right.
So they drove in from uptown because Tom's Diner is way the heck uptown. It's like 123rd Street.
Specific place?
That's Alice's restaurant, I think.
Oh, okay.
You can get anything you want at Chuck A's restaurant. Chuck, that's for you. Thanks for watching,
Chuck.
We love Chuck.
So, yeah, so they wound up, they actually had breakfast at Thomas Diner. They got in early enough. They parked the car way the hell uptown. And then, Allie, you'll remember this from when we were in the city together.
Yes.
When we were at the Only Murders building.
Yes. Love that.
The one train is right there on the west side. And we got on the one train. We went down. We saw Columbus Circle. But they took the one train, and everything Brian wanted to see was on the one train. So they were able to take one subway. They got off. They saw the firehouse. They got back on. They went down a couple of blocks. They saw World Trade Center. They went all the way down to Battery Park. They saw the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. That's all he wanted to see.
He just wanted to see it. He didn't want to go there and look up the dress.
Oh, they wanted to go there. I mean, you know how long it takes. I mean, that's an excursion. That's a day.
That's a day.
So that's Ellis Island. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, look up
the ancestors. No, he just wanted to actually like eyeball it. Like, oh, there it is. It's out there in the harbor. That's good enough.
Did he think it was smaller than he thought?
I guess maybe because to him it was this big. So maybe.
All right. That's funny.
So, yeah, so Brian had a great day. And then after the show, I said, what do you guys want to do? And they really wanted to see Times Square because, again, Brian had never been
there.
Love
Times Square. It smells lovely. They wanted to see
Times Square at night. So
makes one
happy. Took them down there. And then we did like a little walking tour around that area. We went to Radio City Music Hall and we went to Rockefeller Center.
Oh, yeah. With ice skating and the Christmas tree.
Right. So here's the thing. Do you remember that time? Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Chicago?
Yes.
And I went to
the
fork.
The big peanut or the
bean.
The bean. You got
to. And I went to the bean. It was like Wally World. The bean was closed.
Yeah, you went to flick the bean, but there was a rope around it, right?
It was there was ropes. There was ropes and robots like
did you
circling
rush it?
So I didn't. So we went to Rockefeller Center so that he could see the skating rink and the statue.
Yes.
That's below the Christmas
that's
tree.
That's the statue I thought you were talking about.
Right. So I showed him where the Christmas tree usually is.
Right.
And oh, by the way, there's the statue. Oh, wait a minute. The statue is completely covered in canvas because they're refurbishing it. They're shining it up for the Christmas season, I guess. So, Brian, what happened if you went to Rockefeller Center and the statue was closed?
Wally World.
That's what happened to Brian.
He went and got a BB gun, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
John Candy's
John
in Candy, trouble.
John Candy had no sleep that night.
No. John Candy was worried. Wow, that sounds like a great time, though.
Yeah, we had a great time. And then I walked them up. To make up for it, I walked them up Fifth Avenue, down Fifth Avenue, really, to the New York Public Library so that he could see Patience and Fortitude and where the Ghostbusters ran down the stairs. Yeah, so, and then right around the corner, it's behind the library, is Bryant Park. So we saw
went
like
there,
all
didn't
the Christmas.
We?
The Chris, I think we did, yeah, we did. Because that's where that vegan restaurant was Rennie wanted to go to. It was right around there, yep. So I took him to Bryant Park, and then everybody was exhausted, and the subway, again, is right there.
Yeah, people said they got their steps in that day with you.
I was millions and millions of steps.
Millions of steps. It breaks
It
breaks pedometers. You can't.
Everything in New York City is a little bit further away than you think it might be. But it's good because once we got to the library, you look over to your left, you're on Fifth Avenue and 42nd Street, you can see the Chrysler building.
Wow. Did it shine?
Yeah,
the top of it shine?
At night, all lit up. Wow. So he even got to see the Chrysler building at night, which was nice. That's, so that's I think it was, all in all, you know, St. Patrick's Cathedral. I think he had sort of a quintessential New York tourism experience. And I'm glad that he got to see everything he did
in one day.
Because again, it can be pretty tough to see a lot of New York because everything is so spread out.
What's that?
It's a small challenge. It's a big city. Yeah, exactly.
And you guys all got to hang out with Scott again.
Yeah.
Scott recognized Brian. I would think Scott would recognize Brian.
I was filming a lot of stuff because this is why Jay loves us and hates us. He loves us because we promote everything that Scott does, but he hates us because there's a line going around and we're just right in the front. Dave and Stacy had this whole thing where they're doing a contest.
Oh, the t-shirt, autographed
t-shirt, right? And then he's got to pick a name out of a hat. And I'm filming the whole thing on Dave's phone, and you know he's gracious. He's doing it all, and then Morgan goes up there and he wants Scott to sign like four different different types of hand link. Morgan was showing, he has the calculator hand link now.
Wow.
Yeah, so he has the prototype for that. He was showing us that. It was really, really awesome.
Morgan's
so
amazing.
That's coming soon.
He's a mad scientist and a genius all at once.
So, and I got to see the QLP superfan Alexa. She was there with her husband again, who nice. Recognized me back at the connector.
Yes.
She was there again, so it was nice. She was holding my hand like she was, like, fascinated by it. Yeah, so very, very nice woman. Her husband's a really nice guy. So,
did you wear the Enterprise jumpsuit?
I didn't.
Okay,
I wore...
Next time we stalk, I meet Scott, we got to wear Enterprise jumpsuits.
I actually dressed like a grown up. I dressed like a real live boy.
You
put the picture
up
right now. There's a shot of me with Scott, and I have on, you know, a nice collared shirt. Like yeah.
You did look
I
handsome. Got on.
So, and my black vest to make it myself look a little bit slimmer than I actually am, and you know,
dude, you're spelt. You're ripped.
Anyway. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
So what's it like meeting Scott when you're binging Enterprise? Is it like a weird thing with your brain?
You know what?
I feel like you're on the Enterprise. Do you feel like you're in the show?
Had I never met Scott before, I think it would have been a little bit more than it was. But this is like, what, the fourth time mm-hmm. I'm meeting Scott? The fifth, if you count the Leap Back 09 convention when I first met him and he signed my book. So I think that now I know Scott as like an actual individual in my brain anyway. And then he pretends to remember me when I remind him who I am.
Remember me.
So I got that going for me. But yeah, it's really weird because I'm in this place where I can't stop watching Enterprise. Like I'm watching it all the time. And it just goes on. And so it's like, I got Scott on the brain. So it was really great to see him. And it's all I can do to just say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about Archer's journey here? But the show's not about that. No. So I don't want to like monopolize and, you know, go
we should have
all
him on this
fanboy.
Show one of these times.
Yeah. This is the forum for that.
Yeah.
You know, me
had him on
at the theater
podcast, but we
in the
had
East
him
Village,
Trexploration.
At the Baker's
yet.
Wife, a Baker's Wife. Yeah. You should. So anybody in the New York City vicinity should go see the Baker's Wife.
And where is it again?
Just Google it. Scott Bakula, the Baker's Wife, Creative Space something, CSC Theater. I forget what it's. CSC.
It
CSC
looks very
Theater.
Intimate from what I saw.
Yeah. Here's the great, there are no beds. Well, actually, you know what?
What?
Okay. I got like the quote expensive seats because they were sort of like second row center, okay. like you like to do.
Yeah. First like row that. Center. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I got second row center, but the whole crew, this is a theater that's like three sides.
Yeah.
And then
like
the backdrop.
A horseshoe
so
almost, right?
It's a horseshoe that surrounds the stage. Dave, Stacy, Brian, Karen, Morgan, we're all off to the left, and they were like literally like right there on the side of the set. Nice. And the set is just the theater. So they were interacting. Like Brian went up, he was playing bocce ball with some of the actors.
I saw
before,
that. Somebody sent me
yeah,
a video.
Before the show
yeah,
went
that was
on.
Cool.
They had better seats than I did, and they had the cheap seats. So go get the cheap seats. That's okay. what I'm saying. Yeah, get the cheap seats, and you'll be right there in the middle of the action.
Good deal.
So yeah, so The Baker's Wife, you should all go see it. If you can, if you're going to be in New York City for the holiday season, I highly recommend it. Scott sings.
Oh, wow.
He's really good in it. And they have this girl who was I was told she was the bullet in Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
Does that make okay?
Yeah,
and
she goes like this.
She won like a,
she goes
she won
like this
a Tony or something. She won a Tony or something.
When the one guy that shoots Hamilton shoots him, spoilers from a few hundred years ago. She has a bullet and she takes the bullet in slow motion because everybody's in slow motion and she
right.
in it to hit Hamilton.
So
very cool.
And she brought the house down. I mean, she was so good. She plays the Baker's Wife. So I probably should have looked that up before we started.
Serenity's drama teachers or something was in Hamilton on Broadway, I think.
Maybe nice. There troop. We go.
I want to stay on Broadway. I'm not sure. I know he was in the Book of Mormon on Broadway, I think. Yeah, that's a great
Baker's
one.
Wife, New York City.
Baker's Wife. See, this is where I was because I knew I wasn't going this time because, you know, different things. I just wasn't able to do it this time because we got to take the train. We got to take the week off. It's got to be vacation days. It's a lot. You know, it's a good five and that's a lot. And it's a good week and a half the way we do it.
Yeah, you especially. You're crazy that way.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it this time. So it's good because we would have both been sick again. It's weird, right? At the same exact time as Lincoln.
Right. And the Baker's Wife was played by Ariana DeBose.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, Ariana DeBose.
Dude. Go to Disney Plus. She was fantastic. Watch Something at the Movies with Derek Hough and Julianne Hough. And she is dancing with Julianne Hough to Chicago.
Okay.
Thank me later.
She's dancing with Scott in The Baker's Wife.
Wow.
In the East Village.
Wow. Wow. That's a good get.
Yeah. No, she
was in West Side Story. She's been in so many things. She's hosted Saturday Night Live. She hosted the Tonys. I mean, that's big. That's huge. I had no idea. So this is what happened. I knew it was coming. Something was coming with Scott. I knew I couldn't do it. So I kind of buried my head in the sand. I had no idea who was going, what was going on, what it was. So as I'm getting like sent videos and messages, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. So you sent me a picture of your hand link with the autograph. So I sent it to Morgan because I thought, oh, Morgan might want to see that Scott saw his link. And Morgan was like, I was there. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I met Morgan.
Yeah, but yeah, he said it was cool that he got to finally meet you. So,
yeah, it was fun.
How I wish I would have went, but maybe next time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm fortunate.
You're right
in that
there.
I'm right there. I live centrally to the greatest city on the planet. So.
Although I want to say it's more expensive for you to live right there than for us to take a trip up there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. No. But. Still in here and I'm okay. So,
yeah.
I don't know any better. I was born here. It's
exactly.
The frog in the boiling water.
Exactly.
I don't know.
By the hot dog cart.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the roach in the hot dog water.
You met Captain Archer.
I met Captain Archer for the fourth time in my lifetime.
How many times did I meet him? Does it count different nights or is it like different trips?
But you got to interview him for a couple of like a half hour or so.
It was a good hour.
It was a one-on-one. Like,
yeah.
So you had, even though it wasn't like he wasn't like there in person, you got more substantive time
connected.
With Scott Bakula. Yeah.
One of us remembers it, and we'll never forget of it.
Exactly.
We'll never forget it. So, we are talking about Star Trek Con!
You are listening to Star Trek Con, Episode 8 and 9, Original Sin and Eternity's Face.
It only took us, 40 minutes to get to it.
Well, you met Captain Archer. Come on. You got to tell the Captain Archer story, right? Anyway. All right. That's what the shortcuts down below are for if people want to just get the con. But I think people are probably, I'm just going to guess, more interested in you meeting Captain Archer.
I got to say, I couldn't wait to come on the show and tell you about it. We had such a nice time.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. So after after my butt doesn't hurt anymore, for missing it, I'm going to investigate all of it and enjoy it vicariously through all of you. But I'm so happy for all of you that you got to do it. I just wish I was with my friends more than anything.
You are. Here we are.
Oh, thank you. So this is Star Trek Con, the audio drama, episodes 8 and 9, Original Sin. And I think both episodes were written and directed all by the same people, right? Written by
Meyer,
and David Mack, based on a story by Nicholas Meyer, directed by Fred Greenhalgh. And Naveen Andrews as Khan, Ren Schmidt as Maria, a little bit.
Marla, not Maria, Marla.
Marla. I don't have my glasses
on.
Let me put my glasses on.
There we go.
All right. These don't do a damn thing. Sonya Cassidy as Rosalind Lear and Maury Sterling as Ivan. The return of Ivan.
Special guest stars Tim Russ as Tuvok and George Takei as Captain Omai.
So, we had the screeners, right?
And we didn't take advantage of that in any way.
Dragging my heels, and I listened to it, I think, Tuesday. What's today? Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, so I listened to it, the episode 9 for the first time on Tuesday. Before you do the episode synopsis, I have to ask. When Dr. Lear says to Tuvok, how long did it take you to figure it out? Did you yell at your radio like I did? I was like, almost immediately.
I mean, kind of. Even he said about a nanosecond.
Yeah.
Duh.
He was a little ahead of me, but he's actually there.
You know. The Vulcan equivalent of duh is what he said.
All right. Well, I guess, she sees dead people. Chris.
Yeah.
Can you give us the episode synopsis? You're famous, glorious, beautiful, eloquent episode synopsises for Star Trek Con Part 8
Everybody
and 9.
Buckle in. I wrote these days and days and days ago, and I haven't read them since. So there might be some typos and some foibles and some flubs. So.
That's all right.
But we're live, and we're live.
And we're live.
And we're live.
And we're live. Thank you, listen, Linda.
We begin on the Excelsior with Dr. Lear giving us a data dump about the progress she has made cataloging the tapes. And when I say data dump, don't think of Brent on the toilet. Anyway, 5 years after Marla's death and the pact between the Augments and the Alborians has held, the escape ship is complete, slightly ahead of schedule, which is a good thing because the Sunless Sea is almost dried up and everyone is subsisting on limited rations, except for Khan's daughter, Callie, who gets whatever she wants. Callie's Augment genes are showing because she is as smart as a child twice her age. She's like 5 in this, and she speaks like a precocious 1980s sitcom child.
So. I know the type.
Paolo Joaquim, or Joaquim.
Joaquim!
Joaquim.
Joaquim!
Paolo Joaquim and the Alborians Delmonda and Kimora have been chosen to fly the rescue mission. The rest of the survivors would be returning to their old camp on the surface, as they need to blow up the cavern system to launch the ship. Do you remember that?
Yes, so makes sense.
Everybody's been living underground, but now they finally built the ship. They got to blow up the cave so the ship can take off. Everybody's going to go back and live on the surface.
So they can be like the crew, like you left us, buried alive.
Alive! In the center of a dead world, buried alive! We interrupt this heaping helping of exposition with a hail from Captain Sulu. Yo, Lear. You done with this stuff yet? Of course, Lear is like, no way. Sour persimmons, toots, Sulu replies. We have orders to be somewhere else. You need to wrap it up. Lear has a private mental breakdown, chastising herself for failing at her task. Tuvok is also reviewing the tapes, and now we leave the framing device to join Khan in action. Papa Khan is enamored of his daughter. He just loves Callie. Callie has been raised by Mado, and she loves Shakespeare because it's Nicholas Meyer. Of course, people are going to be spouting Shakespeare, sprouting it too.
Star Trek, right? Bible, Shakespeare.
Yep. She, Kali, is happy but has concerns about returning to the surface after the launch. Speaking of which, everyone is gathered around the good ship Venture, Go Team Venture, to celebrate the launch, and Khan drops a bomb. He's changing the flight crew. It will now consist of Joaquim, Kimora, Khan, and Callie. Khan promises that he will find rescue and return in 6 months. Ursula will lead in his absence. Khan's people have no problem with this, seemingly, but Delmonda is like, whoa. Sport, this isn't what we agreed to. Khan is like, tough luck. I'm taking my daughter and leaving you all in this dirt ball to die. I've just been biding my time so you would build my ship. Delmonda says, oh, well then, it's time for total truth between us. He then shows Khan a memory about the day the Alborians crashed on Seti Alpha 5.
This is Seti Alpha 5!
Their ship was overloading, and they needed to vent plasma or something in their engine, and they aimed it at Seti Alpha 6, and that's what caused Seti Alpha 6 to explode. And Khan is like, I knew! You were hiding something! You were holding out on me! You destroyed my world! Time for you to die! No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die! But the homicidal attack is stopped because he starts, like, choking, right? He's like strangling Delmonda, and Kali just, you know, wanders in, and Khan's like, no, and they all makes nice, and he tells Kali that they're leaving in the morning. Delmonda is like, I'll miss you, kiddo, and for some reason tells Khan that they have always been and always will be friends, even though Khan was just trying to strangle him. Anyway, back on the surface, Ursula is getting the camp ready and hears someone approaching, thinking it's Paolo, but no. It's Ivan. He's been wandering the surface for 5 years, and he's back. Now, back to the Excelsior. Lear tells Sulu that she has officially cleared Kirk's name, what with this whole Delmonda reveal, and she just needs a few more hours to wrap things up. Sulu is like, I grant you 2 minutes to you and your gallant crew. I grant you this wish, and wouldn't you know it, Lear bolts and beams down to the surface. Sulu sends Tuvok after her, and that is where we leave you in this, the penultimate episode of Star Trek.
Donna says she yelled it out too.
The final episode, part nine, starts with Ivan. Of course, that Ivan reveal at the end.
Ivan, yeah. That's what hooked me.
He murders Paolo, of course, because Paolo's like, what are you doing here? And he kills him. And he describes to Ursula how he spent 5 years on the surface surviving by munching on SETI eels and finding water. And also, he vows to kill Khan and take the venture for his own. I don't know how he knows about this ship since he's been like wandering the desert.
Internet, news. I guess, right? Something, maybe the paper, magazines.
Yeah, the newsletter. Yeah, he was on the text thread for it.
They didn't kick him out, and he was being silent. He was lurking.
And it was a snow day, so he definitely got a call, speaking of the good ship venture, Callie boards the ship with some of Marla's tapes. Khan forbids Joachim to even entertain the idea of finding a Federation colony for rescue, as he is sure Kirk left standing orders for the murder of anyone who escaped, because, you know, the Federation hates augments, and Kirk could put us in, like, a Federation prison, but he knew we would get out, so he put us here on purpose. So Khan's going kind of crazy about Kirk. Yeah. Ivan arrives in short order at the ship to call Khan out, revealing that he plans to leave on the venture, never to return. I mean, Ivan grasses out Khan for that anyway. Mm. And Khan is like, yeah, so what? You're going to kill me now? It doesn't matter, because we augments aren't the hot stuff we pretend to be. We think we're supreme, but we're savages. We're just slaves to our baser instincts. Callie is the end game, and she needs to live where she won't be poisoned by our expectations, where peace and love and curiosity reign supreme. Also, the hatch is closed. The ship is locked from the inside. So what are you going to do about it, stud? The Oborians use their pandem to surround the ship in a force field, a move that will surely kill them in their weakened state, because canon, they weren't there when exactly.
They had to get rid of them.
Yep. Khan and Ivan square off for a fight to the death, but Ursula strikes first, zapping Ivan with Marla's phaser, which she found in the last episode, which I probably should have mentioned, but I didn't. Anyway, she tells Khan that Mado gets a ride out. Khan is like, yeah, sure, deal. As long as Kali can get off here. He boards the ship to tell Joachim to get off and lead the survivors to the surface. Joachim agrees because canon. Yep. But then Khan hears Kali listening to one of Marla's history tapes about Cortez and his glorious reputation in history as this grand leader that was supposedly brave and visionary. But she declares that Cortez was actually a coward who placed his own needs above those of his followers. And Khan is just like, sounds familiar. With this brutal gut punch from beyond the grave, Khan's heart grows three sizes that day, and he bids Kali farewell. He gives his seat to Delmonda, declaring that his life is not his, but belongs to his followers. He tells Kali that he needs to be the man Marla thought he could be, and he stays because it's the noble and canonical thing to do. Ivan wakes up. Khan kills him, of course. The ship takes off. Khan and Joachim rush to the surface, but all is not well. When they get back to the settlement, they can't get in contact with the good ship venture. Cue the bad news. Erica says shortly after the venture disappeared into the clouds, she saw a fireball fall to the planet. The radio is only giving them static. Let them eat static. Bereft, Khan smashes the radio. It is anger and grief, which is a shame because that radio only had one day until retirement. Khan spends months wandering SETI Alpha 5 in his grief, and he comes to realize the true face of eternity. See, that's the title of the thing, Eternity's Face. And that face is all of our endeavors are futile. Any empire that I build or anybody builds will be undone by time and entropy. Time is the fire in which we all burn. And Khan is a newly forged man in that fire, ready to face whatever beasts await him. And if there is any justice in the universe, that beast will take the form of Captain James T. Kirk. Cut to SETI Alpha 5, present day, where you remember Lear bugged out and beamed down. Tuvok goes and finds her, corrals her, and gets her to admit that she is Kali Noonien Singh. And who saw that coming? Kali,
what? This is brand new information.
We had no idea.
No idea.
And Kali, Rosalind Lear, wonders what might have happened if Khan had not met Marla and stayed true to his nature. But Tuvok says that Marla made him a better man, and without that, Dr. Lear, Kali, wouldn't even be here. Mm-hmm. Kali explains that it was a fuel pod that crashed to the ground after the ship took off, and months after takeoff, they found a Federation colony. By that time, Delmonda and the other Elborian on the ship were so weak without the pandem that they died. Modos wore Kali to secrecy, and she lived as Rosalind Lear thereafter. Modos left Marla's logs to her after she died, but Kali now has the weird solace that Khan thought she was dead, which is why he didn't immediately start looking for her after escaping Seti Alpha 5. That's why he was so bent on vengeance for Kirk instead of finding his daughter. He thought she was dead. Tuvok promises not to grass Lear out to the feds for her augment heritage. He feels that she shouldn't be held accountable for something that she had no control over. Lear agrees to come back, and all's well that ends well. Khan and Kali recite some poetry. The end.
Aww.
And that was the end of this audio drama of Star Trek Con. So, Albie,
so
first and
little
first, it was long. It was long and a lot. It was long.
Little
and a lot.
Orphan Kali.
Little orphan Kali.
Waiting for her parents to come back. They never did.
I guessed. Nope.
They had that locket.
Poor kid. Poor kid.
Poor kid.
Roll for Tarako says, how the Khan stole Christmas. There we go. His heart did grow three sizes. I need to draw Data on the toilet now. Please do, roll for Tarako. Data dump. Donna, thank you. It was fun to write these wrap-ups. The funny thing is, this is me, because I thought, for like three nights now, I thought we were going to be on. And I'm walking the dog, and I'm listening to this, and I'm literally on my phone, walking Penny in the dark, typing up the synopsis on my phone as I'm listening.
That's so bad. There could have been a wooden bench somewhere.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. So it was, you know, the walks went pretty quick. And, you know,
yeah, Penny's your walks are not walks. You want to go?
There are typos.
I'm going to walk, you know. Penny. No, you're going to run, Penny. Like you're escaping zombies.
Listen, you don't know what it's like out here on Long Island, man. People
it's beautiful.
People don't play.
It's
people
beautiful.
Don't play. Sometimes you got to, you know, sometimes you got to run away from
on your
zombies.
Left.
So, Albie,
yes.
Albie Bird.
Yes.
Your first impressions of these last two episodes of Star Trek.
Like I mentioned, episode 8 kind of hooked me because I was going to listen to just 8 and 9 and just get it over with. Because I don't know what my problem is. I think
you
I think I have a problem.
You had a case of reticence for this. Like
yes.
It just it rubbed you the wrong way. Some I feel like you were excited and dreaded it at the same time.
Yes, two things are true. And you know how like you know when they separate your brain and then there's two different personalities in there and they fight and stuff and you
unbutton
your shirt, all that stuff. I
mean, listen, it happened to Kirk and Kal-El. It happened to Kirk and Kirk.
So
it happened. Spider-Man and Peter.
Part of me is excited. Part of me is dreading it, like it's a chore. But I'm listening to 8, and I'm like, oh, at the end, it's like, oh, okay, this maybe something's going to happen. Maybe something's going to happen. So I'm kind of, I kind of put it off, I think, for a week. Because I think the plan was to listen to the two, you, me, and John get together and just like get it out so we can drop it at 9 a.m. But then I was like, oh, I think I'll wait. I'll wait until it comes out or thereabouts. And
remember, you were a little bit sick at this point.
I was sick. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I've been dreading it the whole time and enjoying it the whole time. But I just think I was in a bad place because I was sick. I was just not able to enjoy anything, but it piqued my interest. And then I think I was texting you that I started episode 9. I think the day or it came out, but then I was 10 minutes in and I was just like, no, because I still wasn't feeling good. So I just turned everything off and slept more.
Yeah.
First impressions is, I was wrong. The blue pearlescent lavender people weren't going to eat Khan's people. So there's that.
He did kind of force his mind in there, but it wasn't to like get anything or to do anything nefarious. It was kind of just to get them both on the same page, I think.
Right. He was coming clean is basically what it was.
And which kind of bugs me, because doesn't Khan say in Star Trek 2 that, you know, he blames Kirk for all that, even though now he knows different. But I wish I would have heard this all at once. I think that just doling it out a little bit at a time and us analyzing it to death might have affected my enjoyment of it, because it was just the story plots are obvious. And I think if I was listening to it over like 6 hours while I was cleaning the house or on a lengthy drive, I might enjoy it more, because I'm not thinking, oh, well, it's obviously Khan's daughter for like a month. I'm thinking that for a few hours, maybe.
Understood.
And I think I want to say it was done well. A lot of the actors were great. The sound was amazing. The sound design was amazing. The story was okay for me, but it's almost like, you know, like Jaws, you're very scared of the shark until you see the shark and it still looks fake. I feel like the story had more gravitas and impact on me before I had seen it. Like, whatever my brain filled in, it was better than this. And I don't know how that's possible, because this is very detailed and this has ups and downs and stories and different things.
You know, you have a point, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But, like, my brain filled in between Space Seed and Star Trek 2.
Right.
This wasn't at all that. And I couldn't probably write or express what my brain filled in, but I didn't enjoy this as much. What were your first impressions of Episode 8 and 9 of Star Trek Khan? The Face of Bo. No, Original Sin and Eternity's Face.
John Barrowman, you're welcome on the podcast anytime.
Yes, anytime. Love him.
Anytime. He's got a Scottish accent. Anytime, Captain
weird.
Jack.
It's weird.
Love my Captain
Love
Jack.
Captain Jack.
So, first impressions. Yes. I have to say that Episodes 8 and 9 intrigued me more than many of the episodes before. And
yeah.
I think that because they're winding up a story and bringing it into a place where we always knew that it was going. So maybe as fans, we were more excited to see them getting from there to here. Anyway, so as a result, I feel like these last two episodes were maybe two of the better ones, because we were finally bringing it home. They were like trying to stick the landing. I have broader thoughts about this in general, about whether or not this format served this story, or if this story was suitable to introduce this type of format for Star Trek. I understand why they did it, but we can discuss it. You touched upon it before when you said this was a story that I had already told in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that story was, but it wasn't this story.
Yeah.
So before we go any further into that weird sort of liminal space where all this should exist for every Star Trek fan. Before we feign recalcitrance. Yes. Because what are we, Khan? Stop.
Exactly.
It.
Right.
Come on. We want to know what you out there think. Those of you who are joining us live, let us know what you thought, your first impressions of these. And everybody else who is listening after the fact, reach out to us. Subscribe, like, share.
Come
to Patreon. Come to YouTube. So it's patreon.com/trexploration. There you can see how to support the show. Hello. You can also super chats this video. We're super chatting because we're live.
We're live. Super chat. We'll read all super chats, unless, of course, you know. Couple exceptions.
Couple of exceptions.
But we'll take your money either way.
Yeah. Well, hype this video if you're not watching live, please.
And also, hype it.
Please become a YouTube member. That's youtube.com/@trexploration. You can also find us on Blue Sky, which I've never done, but at trexploration.bluesky.social. Email us.
It's like Twitter. No Nazis.
Twitter, no Nazis. Yes. Twitter before the
Blue
Nazis.
Sky.
Yes. Roald Dahl's Twitter before
Blue
the
Skies
Nazis.
On Mars.
Blue Skies on Vulcan.
Who
would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Anyway, send us your photos. Send us your email. Send us your theories. Send us anything you'd like to trexplorationpod@gmail.com. Also, send us physical stuff to the P.O. Box. That's P.O. Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. Remember that shoebox full of 20s.
Yes.
And at some point, Albie is going to pop up a PayPal link. He's going to pop up a Zelle link. He's going to pop up a Venmo link. He's going to pop up a Cash App link. Anything that you can do to QR this stuff and support the show in a one-time fashion, if that's what you choose to do, please do so, because every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps to just keep the server going, to keep all of this happening.
Server going, paying Riverside, so many things. Editing software is monthly. Everything's subscription now. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy. So, you know, anything you can do to help, whether
it
be on the patreon.com/trexploration or a one-time payment, we would appreciate it. You can be like our lifetime member, the Omnipotent Willard. Thank you, Willard, as
the
always.
Omnipotent Willard!
Yes, there we go. I was waiting for that. And also to the rest of our crew of intrepid Turk explorers. That includes our cadets, Listen Linda, Edward Tatro, our lieutenant commanders, Scott Seligman, Cosplay Dad, and Christian Dalzo. And our Captain Charles from Texas, Captain Charles on the Bridge. And we'd like to thank all of our free patrons as well. We'd like to thank everybody here on the YouTube channel that is subscribing and liking and sharing. And we want you to let us know what you think of all of this stuff. We want you to join us here in our Trexploration community. We need more Trexplorers. We need you. We need you to tell us what you
love.
So Donna is super chatting with us now. She says, I really liked it, except I figured out she was the daughter several episodes ago. Donna, how'd you know? It was such a mystery.
This is brand new information.
We had no idea.
No.
Crazy. And Roll for Taraco says, what type of photo can we see on Only Treks?
As discussed earlier in other shows, it's Chris's feet. It's basically this show with a third camera that are Chris's feet.
Right. And I'm wearing socks now, so I'll peel them off.
Some people are in the socks. I'm not
in
the feet or socks.
Slowly. I'll be teasing you.
But hey, if it makes the money. Those links and those barcodes and QR codes are also going to work for upcoming fundraiser. Rennie's going to space camp. And part of her class is fundraiser. You know, sell cookies and chocolate. But none of that. It's just barcodes now and QR codes. You send money. So,
okay.
We might be doing something special for that. I think the deadline for that to get ready to space camp is December 10th. So probably by December 8th, 9th, we'll want all those things in. So if anybody wants
start
to help.
Checking, you can buy some freeze-dried astronaut ice cream or something like that.
Whatever. Pics of Chris's feet. They're going for 100 a pop.
Wow.
That's
2 feet
in each one, right?
All right, so here we go. Roll for Taraco says, I listened to Trexploration recaps first, so I figured out it was Khan's daughter when Albie and Chris told me. Then I listened to the show. So.
All right. Yeah, and again, we had the episodes, but we didn't listen ahead. But it was pretty obvious, like painfully obvious, right? So
yeah, I mean, so this is what I think we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Bigger picture stuff. I mean, we'll talk about some of the plot stuff here that I thought actually some of it worked, some of it didn't. But like bigger picture, I love the idea of a Star Trek audio drama.
Yes.
I love the idea of filling in eras that we haven't explored yet. Like a Star Trek audio drama about like the Romulan Wars would be amazing.
That'd
a Star
good.
Trek audio drama. But I feel like when you take Star Trek's most popular villain, and you try to do a story based on a time frame that everybody sort of knows about but doesn't know about, that has a definite beginning that we all know about and has a definite ending that you have to hit, does it do a disservice to the subject matter in general? Because everybody that's coming at this, they can't just be excited that this is a Star Trek audio drama. They come at it with a certain set of expectations, whether conscious or subconscious, biases, whether known or unknown, because everybody knows Khan and everybody has a different opinion of Khan and everybody thinks that they, even subconsciously, thinks that they know sort of what happened on SETI Alpha 5, which is what you
SETI
were
Alpha
saying.
5.
This is SETI Alpha 5?
So I'm unsure, while I'm really praising them for doing this. I love the fact that they did this. Was this the story to tell in this venue?
I don't think so. I think they did amazing work. I think most people involved in this project did amazing work. But I think I was having this thought as I was listening to the ninth episode, final episode, like for the fourth time in the car driving around. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, it reminded me a little bit of, what was it, one of the Kelvinverse movies, where they did the con thing and then it, you know, it just didn't sit right. It's
Star
like
Trek
that.
Into Dumpster Fire.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Into the Darkness. But other than that, I like the trilogy. But it's that thing where, yes, there's a great part of Star Trek that is like a locked in seminal moment in Star Trek. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, probably one of the best movies ever made. It's got to be in the top 10 list of all movies, at least in my opinion. And it's a great moment. And it kind of defines a lot of Star Trek. But then these people that are making things up, and it's Harv Bennett. So I don't know how I feel about that either. But it's like, that was great. Let's do it again. Or let's build off of that. Let's do something again with it. Sometimes something is so good and so perfect and so great, I think you should keep your hands off of it and let it live for what it is. And I think that was part of my trouble with this. Although not going into it, because going into it, I was stoked and excited, a little bit trepidatious because of the subject matter. Because, you know, were they going to crap the bed? I don't think they crapped the bed. But I don't think I needed this audio drama.
You know, I have to say that they set themselves up for what might be an impossible task. Because you really are setting a high bar for yourself.
Yeah, when you're there's no way you can get right, near so that moment.
Is there really a way to do it? You know what? I can say this. In some world somewhere, there was a way where this was perfect. This wasn't that. We're not in that timeline right now. I'm not saying this was bad. I'm just saying that it set itself up to have more expectations than it should have had. Had it been a different kind of story. But on the flip side, would you have had as many people listening to it if it wasn't this touchstone for Star Trek history?
It was a way to get the format out there and get the most eyes on it possible. Hello, Listen Linda, Cadet Listen Linda. What is Listen Linda
saying? Wonderful to hear from you, Linda. She's saying, I know it was based on a story by Nicholas Meyer, but I wonder how much of his original story remained. Mm. Now, I wonder how much of his story he even fleshed out himself. And, you know, what kind of marching orders did he give Kirsten Beyer and David Mack? Like, did they have anything besides a broad idea of what he wanted? Did he have a chapter and verse that this is going to happen and aliens are going to crash and it was their ship that blew outside of Alpha 6 and Rosalind Lear is the daughter? Like, I'd be really, really interested to see what his original pitch was and then how they were able to run with it. And how much of it was them? How much of it was him? What was the collaboration like? That, to me, is a very interesting process.
I almost want to go like the Harlan Ellison route, and I want a book written by Harv Bennett about the story he had. And let's see.
Wait, Harv Bennett or Nick Meyer?
Nick Meyer.
Yeah,
sorry.
Keep saying Harv Bennett.
Yeah. I've been watching so many special features.
Gotcha.
What does Ruffalo Taco say?
It was like when QL, Quantum Leap, was rebooted. It was hard to separate the original from the new show. And QL has a special place in Rolf Turaco's heart because he watched it as a kid. I think that Wrath of Khan has a special place in every trucker's heart because it was the movie that saved the franchise, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So it was, you know.
If they did Star Trek 1 again.
Spoiler, Spock dies and, you know. And then they find Spock again. So this is an interesting question. Are the Elbonians canon now? I say that. That's what Rick calls them.
I'll say yes. This happened. This happened in Star Trek.
This
now.
Is official sanctioned Star Trek. So this is all canon now. Now we know Khan has a daughter. Khan has a daughter, and she's best friends with Christina Chong over on. So I think that where is number one at this point? Where is what the hell is Christina Chong's name on?
Laan Nguyen Sung.
Laan, yeah.
Laan Nguyen Sung.
So are they sisters? Are they identical cousins?
Two of a kind.
Right. So Spock did die, yes. Sorry.
Not there yet.
Spoiler. So Kirk dies too, but not really. He's in the Nexus.
Well, everyone dies eventually.
But on Star Trek, they come back.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sorry. Borgified, Romified, you know.
Romified. All that Romified noodles when I was in college.
so I don't want to be all down on it, right? Naveen Andrews, I think, was brilliant.
Yeah.
A lot of the story was great. I don't know what could have been different about it. As a writer, is there things that you were like, oh, that's right there and they missed it or something that could have gave it something?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Okay. One of my main criticisms of this as a writer is I felt like a lot of this, they were trying too hard to infuse gravitas by invoking poetry, by invoking the Western canon and giving it like this veneer of scholarship, where Khan is talking about Coleridge and slouching towards Bethlehem. I forget who the poet was that he was talking about in this, when, you know, the, you know, the center cannot hold and the shape of eternity is basically dissolution. And that's all great stuff if you're in an English lit class, but this is, to me, a failing of Nicholas Meyer. It's in Wrath of Khan. It's in The Undiscovered Country. It's just too much Shakespeare all the time. And Rolf Tarko says, should I draw you something nice to cheer you?
Heck yeah.
You know, P.O. Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. We do take drawings. You see the drawings here and here, right? You see them, right? Right? Yep. So, listen, Linda. She gave you a bar to clear. Kind of like Wrath of Khan.
Very high bar.
You draw a bar to
very
clear.
High bar.
Yeah, it's very high bar. So, but what I'm saying is, like, I felt like a lot of this was a lot of purple prose for the sake of sounding good for audio in place of compelling story. And I feel like there was a lot of thin story here that was dragged on too long for obvious things, a lot of different conversations that I guess they had to be had because the characters need to discover the stuff that we already know. Mm-hmm. But then you had, like, I think I mentioned it last time, you had this conversation between Sulu and Lear about the nature of evil and does Khan deserve to be studied? And it's just like it goes on a little too long. And it's almost like they have like a thought experiment in their head and they're just writing it out as a scene of dialogue so that you can have like this tete-a-tete about broader ideas, which I guess isn't bad, but it kind of takes you out of the story because it's not really woven in very well. It's all like this framing device that poses these big questions that I guess are very Star Trek questions. The nature of evil. Did we fail Khan? Should we have reached out and done more to help him, to rehabilitate him, to bring him into the fold? That's what we're all about here. Exploration, understanding. Or do we just dismiss him as a mistake and throw him away on this planet and hope that we never have to worry about this again? Those are all good questions. I don't know that they wove those effectively into the story. I think where the story worked most was Marla. Ren Schmidt's character, Marla, was really the voice, the everyman or the every person of the Federation of that time, posing all these questions because she came from the one world and now she's navigating through this new Khan world. To me, that's like a perfect synergy of that Starfleet ideal that we want as Trekkies to discuss and this action story that we need as an audio drama. The framing device was distracting from that.
I,
by the time that they confirmed, or at least we confirmed in our own headcanon, that Kali was Lear, we had already had a grown dislike for the character of Lear for whatever reason. Maybe the actor just clashed with our
But also the way she was written. The way she was written was pretty awful.
Yeah. Like, all that part was pretty bad. I still have questions about her. But I think by the time I knew I was in trouble, because me being a father and having a daughter that is amazing in my whole world, anytime I hear a story about a dad and a daughter, my heart just melts and nothing with this.
Really? I was going to ask you about that.
Nothing. So I knew I was in trouble there.
A whole new con in these two episodes of Daddy Con. We get Daddy Con. He's like the most devoted dad in the world.
He's still having someone else raise her for the most part. Which,
yeah, that's true.
To me is...
But he's Tickle Monster Con.
Yeah, he shows up here and there, right? He shows up to the softball games or whatever. But he's not there doing the day-to-day, you know, doing the dishes with the right hand, cooking with the left hand, and folding the laundry with the right foot, you know, like Cat and
I never thought of that, because he proposes to be so devoted to her. But you're right. It's really Mado that's raising
her. He seems absentee almost to the level of Worf for me. But that's
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Them are fighting words. Holy crap.
But yeah, I knew I was in trouble when the daddy-daughter stuff didn't do anything for me. And, you know, Khan, they had me with Khan, because Naveen Andrews, I think, brings a certain gravitas again to the situation and the story and the storytelling. And his performance is amazing. I don't think he could have done any better. I don't think anybody could have done any better than Naveen Andrews, except maybe Ricardo Montalban, and maybe not even there. But it was a great Khan by Naveen Andrews. But when the character grabbed me and I was thinking, okay, we're going to see the other side of the story. We're going to see it from his perspective. By the end of this 9 episodes, probably by episode 7 or 8, he just felt like, I don't know if this is a word anymore. Twerp. Is that a thing?
A twerp. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he felt like to me. Like someone I didn't even want to be around. And I had the ick factor from his just, I guess had to get to.
But was that part of it, though? I think that was maybe intentional.
Part of the story, I guess. But I mean, Margot's gone. Ren Schmidt's gone, right? Marla McGivers is gone.
Margot McGivers.
I think a lot of the reason why we like her is because we love Margot, but that's another thing. Who knows?
It's true.
But she's great, too. But there's no one for me to connect with. There's absolutely no one for me to connect with half of this audio drama.
But Ivan is such a well-rounded grounded character.
I walked around for 5 years eating eel scales, slowly poisoning myself.
It's almost as good as vodka.
Who am I following? Who am I in this story? What's my doorway in? I'm just watching somebody play with things, and it's not interesting. And it sucks because it's Star Trek Con.
Yeah. I don't
change
know.
Change my mind. Change my mind. Make me love them.
I don't know that I can. I mean, I think that they did the old bait and switch.
They're masters at it.
The whole time we're seeing a different side of Khan. Right. We're humanizing Khan. And then it takes us to get to episode 8, where Khan shows his true colors. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave them all to die on that barren rock. And he's going to go off and find a new paradise, a new empire for him to conquer and build with Kali at his side, because he's all daddied up. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's John, the beautiful John Irons.
The beautiful John Irons. What does he have to say?
He says the best part was listening to an audio fistfight for 5 minutes. And then Khan, I guess, eventually stabs Ivan in the throat.
I just think that was the audio from Rocky when he was beaten on the meat carcasses.
Cut me, Mick, cut me.
Oh my goodness. But,
so it was like they spent so much time building Khan as a more interesting, more three-dimensional character, only to sort of do a switcheroo here in these last two and show you that no, he's just been a giant scumbag all along that's been biding his time. Which is that a surprise? No, but I feel like it should have been more impactful after 7 episodes of getting to know this character in a different way. It wasn't like a moment when his true colors, we saw his true
colors shining through.
And that's why we should have loved him and then been shocked, because this is not the Khan we got to know. Mm-hmm. And no, this is the Khan you were expecting. This is the two-dimensional bad guy.
I guess, you know? They had to get there, right?
Yeah.
But I was hoping that they would prove us wrong and we would understand Khan more. I thought they were going to do that.
Well, is that another? Is that what we wanted? Do we need Khan to be?
If it was done right, again, spoilers for the musical. But if it's done right, it's amazing.
I don't know if I buy that. I don't know that Khan needs to be more than what we saw in Space Seed and Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
So hi, Christian. How are
Christian's
you?
Christian's here. Dojo. He sent us a lovely email. We're going to read it in a future episode soon.
Yes, so, thank you, Christian. For that. Or Lieutenant Commander, Christian Dalja.
Christian Dalja, thank Lieutenant you. Commander.
Roll for Taraco says that this is not the Khan you were looking for. Move away. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I had high expectations. Hmm. Again, it might be an Albie problem. I would love to hear more feedback, but like, I haven't heard any chatter, any thoughts online. We have our own like bubbles that we're in.
Yeah.
Me, you, Barren Space, Cosmic Infinite Potato Alliance. Yep. And we all have our thoughts, and it's pretty much the same, but I haven't heard from any of my normal Star Trek friends like I would during every episode of Strange New Worlds or something. People aren't like, oh, that was this, that was this. It's just crickets, and we're all just kind of listening.
Yeah, I think that everybody was excited for the concept, and then sort of progressively let down by the execution.
The announcer at the end, you were progressively let down by, and then 38 names. What if they chose this audio drama opportunity to start a new ship adventure, a new cast? You know, a la what, Excelsior, or what is it, Excalibur?
I
mean,
that's where we're going. I know we're not talking about like the nitty gritty of these two episodes. I feel like that the synopsis did that anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about our feelings.
Everybody knows what happened. Christian says, cool, looking forward to that, Albie and Chris. You're getting really good at saying my last name. Thank you, Daljo.
Daljo. Fans. Lieutenant
Commander. Greenhalge and Daljo together again for the first time.
I want to be a man of the world, and I feel things like that help me.
But I think this is good proof of concept.
Yes, for the format.
And I'm all for having Star Trek audio dramas that are more original, because they won't have the baggage that Khan brings. Mm-hmm. So, again, as we've been saying ad infinitum for the last hour and a half, there is just so much inherent stuff, so much that Khan brings with him, that we can't help but compare and, for the most part, maybe be disappointed in what we're hearing, because it contradicts what we have built up mentally. If we were in like a Romulan war situation, or just any Starfleet adventure with maybe one character that we know is like a tether, but doesn't have to be like filling in a backstory for an event that we already know in Trek, you know, except like maybe a touchstone, like a, like I keep saying Romulan War because I have Enterprise on the brain, but yeah, anything like that, but still have,
you know,
original cast, original ship, original crew. I think that could be fun.
You know what I want?
What do you want?
What is the 90s Trek called? Is that the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the?
We'll call it 90s Trek.
90s Trek.
We'll call it the Halcyon Days. How's that?
Most, if not all, of those actors are still around. I would love an anthology audio thing. Maybe give 3 episodes to Voyager, give 3 episodes to Enterprise, give 3 episodes to Deep Space Nine.
it doesn't have to be the whole cast. It can be as many people as they can get together to do things. But I would love to hear like an episode of Voyager, just audio of an episode of Voyager. That would be amazing.
I think that might be a tough thing to do, though, because you'd have to pay those people to reprise.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe not the way to go. I hate to say this. I mean, Peter David did his whole Excalibur thing with.
Excalibur.
So
Captain Calhoun, was it?
Mackenzie Calhoun.
Yep.
John, the beautiful John Irons writes, I didn't mind the way it ended. It was fine. I just joined you guys. So apologies if you've already said this, and I don't think we did. I think it would have worked better if it was three episodes shorter.
Johnny, check your messages.
Yeah, Johnny. Johnny,
check your messages.
And his actual favorite part was Khan giving up his spot on the ship and everything at the end with Tuvok and Lear.
Hmm.
I don't know.
We got to get him on. Oh, yeah. I just heard about that. Yes, Linda. Listen, Linda. Linda.
She writes, Patrick Stewart has retired?
Yep, he just did. That was an announcement.
When did he announce that?
Last couple days I heard it.
Do you think he's fading, or is he just?
In my opinion, he was fading when he was promoting the third season of Picard, because they stuck him with or they put the two together of Gates and Patrick, and whenever Patrick swayed off of reality, Gates was there to bring him back, center him. So,
yeah, I'm not.
It happens to all of us. It's happening to me. I don't know what's going on.
I have to do that to you all. I'm doing it to you right now. Albie, come back to us.
You have to help me here and there. For real.
So, I mean, I guess I'm not that invested in Patrick and Picard as a character. I thought he did fine on the show.
I love the man.
Patrick, enjoy your retirement. I can't wait to retire.
He earned it.
You're looking at my retirement now. This is what I want to do during my retirement.
Same.
Talk to Albie about Star Trek.
Samesies. Yeah.
So, and have Listen Linda listen in. So, yes. Because she's listening.
That's the dream.
That's what she does.
That's the dream.
And maybe she'll send us more pictures. I don't know.
Oh, can't wait.
They can do Voyager Kids. Is that like Flintstone Kids? 10 million strong and growing.
10 million strong and growing. Yes. I want to publish Linda's artwork somehow. Oh, did you notice we got a store now? If you go to YouTube,
it says we got a store.
Yeah. We just have it say Trexploration. There's a couple other ones, maybe our image. I think Christian said we should do a Patreon shirt. That's a great idea.
Okay. Sure.
All the different sites I'm trying are having trouble with the arrowhead, the communicator badge. What do they call that? Delta.
The Delta.
It's like they immediately, their AI copyright stuff just takes the Delta out. So we have to upload stuff without the Delta. So
that's fine. I mean, we have a good logo. Scott has done a great job.
Yeah, Scott.
Maybe we can stylize some things.
Some things.
Yeah. So Linda writes, I want to retire soon too, so I can draw more pictures. Thank you, Linda.
I'm picturing something like from Titanic, and she's Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'm Kate Winslet. I'm just saying. I'm up for it.
Way to alienate, listen, Linda. Okay, Linda. Linda,
I'm come sorry. Back to us.
He didn't mean it, Linda. Come back.
I've always wanted to be drawn. She's a brilliant artist. She already drew me, though. So,
yeah, she already drew you like one of her French boys.
Open wide mat. I didn't tell you. Let's change the subject. So, it's the Johnny, read your messages. Super windy here. Not so great for recording. Okay, the wind blow. He must have read it.
Yeah, the AC. The wind blowing through the AC unit makes it sound like my windows are farting.
All right. So, little secret. I was trying to get Johnny to come on.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him how his date went, but I don't know if he's texting us. It probably didn't go so great.
Hey, listen. Let's not speculate about John's love life. Maybe he can't join us. Maybe his windows aren't farting. Maybe it's his date. I don't know. So. Roll for Toronto. Draw me like one of your French scouts. I don't know what that means. Oh, it's perfect scouts.
It's a mashup of the drawings with the scouts and the Titanic and the French girls and the one leg, and then wide open mat. So it's the what 40th anniversary of Back to the Future, right? We talked a little bit. I'm probably going to do three separate videos on my other channel, Station 823, about this, but we're trying to figure out a new way to watch Back to the Future because we have the 4K, we have the Blu-ray, we have the Laserdisc, we have the VHS, we have all this stuff. And I found out maybe a couple years ago that Back to the Future, if you watch the full screen version, I think it's the DVD and maybe one edition of the VHS. It's basically an open mat, but not a wide open mat. So you see a lot more than you do in the cropped version where it's meant for.
Mm-hmm.
So Serenity and I, this year, when we watched the trilogy in October, because October is inventory month at Statler Toyota.
Okay.
that's how part one starts, and you know, and everything takes place October and November, like the end of October, November. So we watched the wide open mat version of Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. So microphones on the top of the screen the whole time, dolly tracks on the bottom, and you know, tape marks of where the actors have to go and stop and stuff.
Right.
And production equipment and production people in the frame. And it was amazing. I had never seen it in these past 40 years.
Where did you find all that?
Well, I can't say, but I know a guy.
Oh, you know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a guy. If you know a guy that runs a hot dog cart.
Wait, you know a guy. So I know a guy who knows a guy.
Exactly.
That's how that works. Okay. So
if you and Peter want to be part of those videos.
What the hell was that?
You spoke
too much. You let that. You should have kept mum.
Yeah. So amazing way to watch it. Captain Game Show said it went great.
That's and good. Wide open mat was his roommate in college.
wide open mat was my roommate in college.
pretty good.
So yeah, it's an amazing way to watch it. So I got to do a video on it because as far as I know, there's not a lot out there about it.
You know, I didn't know about like open mat stuff, but I have to be honest with you. The first time I saw something that took me out of it, it was one of those M. Night Shyamalan Lama Lama Ding Dong movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on seeing, I was in the theater and I kept on seeing the boom mic up. And I was like, is this on purpose? Is he doing this because he wants you to think
meta?
That they're in a movie and they don't know it, but you know it.
It's
and
you not see really like, the boom mic.
Going, but from what I understand,
they're
like that's
on a beach.
That's very common when you have the film, and it's up to the projectionist to actually frame it right so that the top and the bottom don't show as much as it should.
Yes,
and so the projection, it's a lost art now because everything is just automatic and digital. But the projectionist was off. So I was seeing the boom mic and it took me out of the movie because he didn't have it framed right on the screen.
Usually there's the 35 millimeter prints. Usually the 35 millimeter prints don't have those in those when they send them out to the theaters. So was it like a popular film? It was an M. Night Shyamalan. Was it an early release or like a preview?
You know what it was? I think it was it the one after, not the, was it the one with Bryce Dallas Howard where they were, no, it wasn't that one.
The Lady in the Water?
The village.
Cabin?
I think it was the stupid one with,
The town, the village?
No, not the village. The one where John was working out with one arm and they killed the
Glass?
Critic. No, it wasn't Glass. They were like in an apartment complex.
And there was no mermaid in the pool?
Maybe it was The Lady in the Water.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard, right?
Yeah. But no, but wasn't she the one in The Village?
Maybe. I think he reuses people, doesn't he? Batista's got to be in the next one. But wide open mat. Back to the Future is amazing. I thought it might ruin the experience. But, and me and Rennie talked about this as we were watching it. We didn't want it to, like, spoil the magic. Because, like, Back to the Future 1, 2, 3, really great films. Lady in the Water. Thank you, Captain Game Show.
Hi, Susie Q is with us, too.
Ooh, Susie Q.
I just saw.
I'm not going to pre-read that one. What did she say? How's your night going? What did I miss?
It doesn't sound like you're talking about Star Trek.
We are. We're on our second tangent.
Right. So
it is inventory month. What we came up with our headcanon is that Doc Brown is filming the whole thing for scientific research.
Is he wearing Google Glass?
He
or has he got his JVC
metal thing? We're going. We don't need roads.
Gotcha. Right?
But it's amazing to see, you're basically watching behind the scenes, but the whole film. And I got to tell you, like, then we saw it in the movie theater again. We're probably going to go see, what is it, 4DX, where the seats shake and they squirt water at you next week.
This sounds like Back to the Future After Dark.
They have that in Naples, and we want tickets from Kevin Smith, because I think that's some questions. Huh?
This is pronounced nipples, not Naples.
Okay, nipples.
Because there's water squirting in the seats. And anyway,
yeah,
went dirty. Went blue.
As long as those tickets still are valid, we're going to go to see that. So we'll see it again. But what I'm saying is that the crop to make it widescreen, which makes it look beautiful, which is what it was framed for when they were filming it, is less than a third of the total filming frame. Like less than a third. It's amazing how much information is not there. But all the special effects were all exported in 16:9. So when there's a special effect, it goes to 16:9, but then goes back up to wide open mat.
Gotcha. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
Which is Captain Game Show's college roommate.
Yes, wide open mat. So. Well, I'm glad that you got to see it and experience it that way. It seems really interesting.
Wow.
And like you said, like we've seen it so many times, it's not like you can ruin the experience. You can just enhance the experience. So
and it set me on this whole thing, because like Batman 89, same thing, right? Wide open mat. And there's a lot of 35mm scans out there of different things like that. But even full screen DVDs, which I always used to poo poo and throw away and not even look at or buy, now I look it up. Is it an open mat or is it a pan and scan? You know?
Yeah. What's
the movie I just watched? I think I sent you some pictures.
You sent me a lot of pictures that I don't know what you're talking about.
It had Wolverine. And who else did it have? I don't know. But it was good. It was Ashley Judd. It had Ashley Judd, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, and I think Greg Kinnear. But I it came with the widescreen version and the full screen version. So I watched both real quick. And I was like, wow, an open mat. I guess I'm watching it full screen. So there much more. Okay. So my question is, was Star Trek Con open mat or was it film?
In my ears. It was always in my ears, open mat. I could see all of the boom mics. I could see the director doing like this.
The fight for 5 minutes at the end.
Seti eels coming and going. I could see like the guy's hand up the Seti eel's butt to make it do this. Mm-hmm.
It was definitely rubber. Yeah. It looked like rubber. The Seti eel still looks fake.
So, I don't know. Again, then we have Ivan eating the Seti eel like it's popcorn.
Yeah, so, man, Star Trek Con. Right.
We've been going for an hour and 39 minutes. Should we take a break?
We wrap this thing up.
We're going to wrap it up.
And Leopold.
Okay.
It wasn't Kate and Leopold, because that is Meg Ryan and is that Hugh Jackman again?
Might be. I don't know. And John is saying someone like you. Someone like you?
Yes. This is that's the movie. Watch it full screen. It's much better than the widescreen version if you're into Ashley Judd, Ensign Robin Leffler. Just saying.
At Star Trek.
Yep, Star Trek. So yeah, that's a great movie, and I'd never seen it, and it came in a 3-pack with When Harry Met Sally and something else. So of course I bought it because it's When Harry Met Sally. I have a whole shrine to the movie, curio cabinet full, which older generations would put plates in for some reason.
I have plates.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all I had to collect back then was plates.
They made of paper.
Yeah.
So
Chinette.
I don't know.
But yeah, so I watched that before I put it in the cabinet, and it was great. I recommend it.
Are there any other aspects of Star Trek Con that we haven't discussed?
Tell me what you loved about it. You had to love something about these 9 episodes somewhere in there.
I thought the production value was amazing. I thought for the most part, the main characters, the voice acting was really good. I did like a lot of the sentiments, especially when Del Mondo was on the scene talking about the different kinds of love that our hearts can hold. I think it actually might have been Marla that said something like that. But there were a lot of neat little moments that really worked in context of some very specific scenes, especially the Khan and Marla stuff, when it wasn't being completely Nick Meyer'd out, where it's just spouting poetry to spout poetry. But giving sort of these bigger ideas, a more human grounding. And there were a lot of like really, really nice intimate moments between some of the characters that I think they worked for the most part. That's kind of why you listen to an audio drama. When it's not about plot, then what else do you have? So when it was on, there were some very poignant parts to it. And like maybe like John said, or maybe like you said, had we been able to listen to it in one go, or had it been a little bit shorter, I think a lot of that stuff wouldn't have gotten as lost as it does get in the broader story that we're just trying to get through. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, I think there was so much to like about this that got lost in too much. How about you?
Yes.
Okay.
Something you brought up is going to make me talk about something else I didn't like. I think John said it last time we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I was agreeing with him. But the voice actress they got for
Lear.
Not her. The other
Ursula.
One. Ursula. No, the other one.
Madeau.
Sounds a lot like Ren Schmidt. And it got
Ursula
confusing.
Sounds like
Ursula.
Sounds like Madeau was the one with the accent.
No accent. It just sounded like Margot.
Ursula is the one that sounded a lot like Ren Schmidt. Yeah.
And it was very confusing in my head.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So. Ursula. But that really did detract from it because I'm listening to it and I'm going, is it a flashback? Are we talking about Marla again? And then they would mention a name and go, oh, okay. So I was very lost and confused a lot of the time. Because of that, maybe they needed an accent. The Lear stuff dragged on. Some of it could have been cut out, said Ruffalo Taco.
Yeah. And then we had
but there wasn't that much
other listeners and other viewers grating, saying that they really liked the Lear stuff because it was the only thing that was new.
I like Tuvok. And it was nice to hear. It was nice to hear George again.
I guess. If you're a fan of George.
Yeah. Oh, my. I am.
I'm not especially a fan of George. So yeah,
I like him. I would hug him.
I like Sulu. I'm not so sure I like George. But that's me. That's a Chris thing. But yeah, so
audio quality is great. As someone who is an audio producer,
yeah,
director, editor, you know, I'm in it. You know, that's how I make my living. If you need somebody, check out what's the website called, Chris?
It's called reductivearts.com.
Right there. That's how you get in contact with our
team.
There
we go.
And a lot of the people you know and love are involved in that. But I love launching a show. I'm launching one right now. And it's all about the quality and the content and telling the story, audio. So you're sucked in because I want people to be sucked in the things I produce. No matter who's doing it or what the subject, I want people to not get out of their car. I want them to finish the episode before in the driveway, right?
That's driveway, what I'm going a driveway for. Moment, right?
That's driveway moment. That's what I'm always going for. This production was amazing.
It was. It
just didn't land for me. So should we go into final thoughts and ratings or what should we do?
Yeah, yeah. So who's your episode?
Who's your Trek and Tell? Are we doing that? Are we saving
I showed you my hand link, so that's okay. Sort of a Trek and Tell,
yeah,
right?
That is a very big Trek
my
and
Scotty,
Tell.
So my like, Scotty Bags hand link. In case the people who haven't seen the beginning of the show, there's my hand link by the great Morgan Feldman. I saw Scott Bakula over the weekend.
I love Morgan.
He signed it for me. Thank you.
Do not clean that with alcohol.
That's what he told me. Do not use any kind of solvent because it will come right off. So
I think you need to have it graded now and put in one of those inside boxes, never to be seen again.
Scott shook this hand. I'll never wash it again.
Never wash it again.
So that's my Trek and Tell. Okay. Do you have a Trek and Tell? Oh, Donna's still with us.
Hey, Donna. Donna.
Donna.
I might have shown some of this before.
Donna, prima Donna.
I might have shown some of this before. It's
prima
pertinent,
Donna,
maybe.
Prima Donna.
That's right.
No, you know, you haven't shown that.
I haven't showed that. I just grabbed stuff on the way out.
Ricardo like,
in piles of Star Trek piles. So, Star Trek, this is Wrath of Khan.
Nice.
Of course. You know, I don't open my action figures. That's for somebody to do after I die.
I've opened mine, so we're all good on that.
Yeah, you're pretty cool.
I haven't opened my Funkos, though. My Frasier Funkos are still on.
And two things. I'm going to give this another chance because I'm thinking, because it's not only Star Trek Con, but there's a lot of things right now that I just can't enjoy for some reasons. That happens to me. I go through ups and downs. Sometimes I can't enjoy things. I don't know what is going on with that, but this is part of it. So I'm going to give it another chance. And what I want to do at some point is like on a weekend off or something, watch Space Seed, go through all these episodes of Star Trek Con, and then watch Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan. And I want to like absorb it all together. Right?
Tom, do you think that's necessary? I feel like I've seen Space Seed and Wrath of Khan so many times, like it already exists in my head.
Yes, but I want to go through it one more time. I want to give it another chance. I'm going to give it a few months, I think. Okay. Maybe a couple. But I think, you know how we did, what did we do for the holiday season last year?
You and me?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We were trying to figure out what my shirt said.
We were?
And the episode we did was very fetch.
See, no.
No? Okay. Star Trek Generations. We did a watch along to Star Trek Generations.
Generated because of the Christmas ornament that looked like the sun exploding. Yes, I recall that.
Yes.
Oh, Papa. Oh, Papa.
Exactly. So I think this year, you know, you got to prove it, of course, because we're partners. But I think this year we might do this for the holiday season.
What is this? The Wrath of Khan
director's cut. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Wow. So
we've been Con crazy lately, right?
Yeah, Con crazy.
So that might be a good holiday party. What do you think?
I think that'd be great. I think everybody loves Wrath. So, and it's a director's cut. We can like joke about how Scotty brings Peter up to the bridge instead of the sick bay. Listen, Linda says she's going to see Wrath of Khan next Friday. Like, you haven't seen it, Linda? Now
I'll have it. Is it going to be in the theater? Is it where? Show me how. Where?
Shatner going to be like introducing it? So, and our viewer Donna is saying she heard another commentary say that they had problems figuring out the differences between the women, which of the women were speaking.
Sounded so similar that it was hearing
the female actresses. Yeah,
like it sounded more similar than James Doohan on doing every character on the animated series.
He pulled that off, man.
He did.
Yeah. So
it was distinct. But these two that are separate actors have the same voice. So I guess you blame the casting director there?
Maybe. And I also feel like I was okay with it because, again, I know Ren's voice from watching Margot on For All Mankind. And she also, like, no matter what, she's always got that southern lilt. Like, I think my New York accent, but it still comes through here and there. So, and listen, Linda's saying, yeah, she's going to see Wrath of Khan with Shatner.
Oh, yeah, he's touring that, isn't he?
He's going to be live in the theater with Listen, Linda.
Oh, man, we should go to California. I'll pick you up on the way, Chris.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll meet you in Grand Central Station.
We're going to ride horses. That way Shatner will be interested
in us. I'll be the one holding your book so you'll know who I am.
Were you? We met?
Isn't that how we met the last time?
Yeah. I'll be like Scott Bakula. I'll pretend to remember who you are.
I'll
be very gracious.
It's so good to see you. You? If you see him more than 3 days in a row, he does remember you.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
And he starts to dread it. So.
Right. He's like, he just starts to like to duck away.
Don't you have pictures of you and me? No. No.
All right. So we're doing favorite parts. I think we did that, right? Who's your episode crush?
My episode crush? Wow. For these past two episodes? Zero. No one. Nothing. Not one being in any of the last two episodes or the last four. Once Ren Schmidt was gone, I was gone.
Susie Q says, I didn't bring anything home from Scott this time, but Chris kissed my cheek and I'll never wash that again.
Aww.
Owie.
Wow.
Linda, is that at Ticonderoga? No, Ticonderoga's here, Donna. Donna,
if it is, you should go there. Well, you never know. Cadet Listen, Linda could be heading up.
I don't think
Ticonderoga.
If she's coming up to Fort Ty, then I'll go up. I'll drive up to meet Linda. That'd be great.
Be up on the way.
I'll
like
kiss her on
the airport that one time.
She'll never wash it again.
She can join. A lot of us are not going to wash things.
Stacey,
luckily, I can wash fine because nobody touches me.
Stacey's going to have the mange because she's never going to wash her cheek
Tuvok.
Again.
Tuvok. Okay, Tuvok. I did like Tuvok.
Your Ruffalo Taco says Tuvok was his episode.
You're right. You reminded me. I got some anger or something because I'm not even remembering Tuvok. Tuvok. Yes, Tuvok. Because I'm a Voyager guy.
My episode crush was my favorite part, and the episode crush was the use of all the TOS sound effects that they did.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I liked the sound effects in the back corner speaker. That's great. Anaheim.
Okay, Linda's going to be in Anaheim next week.
Linda has to pick both of us up on the way.
Right. So
we'll give you our addresses.
So now we know, Linda. Sorry. Everybody watching this is going to know where you are next Friday. So.
All right.
She's going to be in Anaheim. Do we do trivia?
I just had a thought, but it's gone. If I think about it, I'll blurt it out. Okay, so we're going to do final thoughts and ratings. I'll go first with my final thoughts.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us this. I feel bad that I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. I'm hoping I change my mind in the future with this and the Zindi arc.
How dare you?
Overall, for me, it was a huge disappointment. And I did not enjoy it. There were parts I enjoyed. I liked Renschmidt. I liked Naveen Andrews. Khan's stupid. He destroyed the radio. He could have talked to his daughter. But, you know, we're in the timeline where he had to kill Kirk, or try to anyway. Buried alive. Buried alive. I'm going to give it out of 5. Now, this is, I guess, the last 2 episodes, but also maybe just in general. I'm going to give it 2.5 slightly poisonous eel skins.
Okay.
Chris, final thoughts and ratings for Star Trek Con 8 and 9 or the season together?
Yeah. I mean, so was the 2.5 for both 8 and 9 and the season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'd rather it not come out yet and still anticipate it and want to hear it. But hearing it was a huge disappointment for me, and I'm sad about it.
I'm sorry.
What is Johnny saying?
He's asking, is it the series overall or just the last 2 episodes? So your answer is yes to both.
Yes.
Yes. Chris. Yes, John. So, final thoughts. To me, this is amazing proof of concept. To me, this is something that bodes well for an unexplored venue in which to get more Star Trek. And I love the fact that they're bringing back audio drama as a thing. I think we're uniquely poised for something like this because of the proliferation and just the ubiquitousness of podcasts these days. You can have radio drama again like you used to back in, you know, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s.
Love it.
Which I love. You know, I know you love it too. So
that's one of the reasons. I'm like, I don't understand.
If you can give me like a Yours Truly Johnny Dollar, but it's set in Star Trek. If you can give me, you know,
Rocky X-Men Fortune, 1, Box 13. I love Box 13. Do you love Box 13?
Let George do it.
That's Alan Ladd, Box 13, I think.
And or Greg Gildersleeve. Give me a comedy.
Something.
You know, I love it.
Give me Burns and Allen any day of the week.
Shatner is going to be at Enterprise Museum at Fort Kind. He's going to be at Fort Ty this month. That's over at the Star Trek Experience Tour.
Everybody needs to pick me up on the way. So you buy and you fly and I'll go.
Donna, if you're going, maybe I'll meet you up there. I've been up there once. It's a schlep for me. It's kind of long.
It's a 24-hour train ride.
5-hour drive for me. To me, this is amazing. Like, to me, this is like a bellwether event for Trek fandom. So whether I can separate the concept of the audio drama from the story that we heard, because I want more of it. So, yes, in that respect, 5 out of 5. Like, please give me more of this kind of Star Trek. The con thing had its ups and downs, its pros and cons, and I don't know if that's the fault of the writing or the fault of my expectations for con. So I'm going to come right down the middle and say 2.5. 2.5 Marla's half-dead phasers out of 5.
You were going to go with the crumbled radio. I really did.
Two and a half crumbled radio that only had 1 day to retirement out of 5. you know?
Jack Benny.
I
think I've listened to every Jack Benny.
I love it. Where's Dennis Day? We need Dennis Day to come sing a song.
Dennis Day. Oh, he was the best, wasn't he? Oh, and Mary. They were married in real life, weren't they?
Jack Benny and Dennis Day? Yeah, they were married.
Maybe. Jack Benny, yeah. What did Donna say?
Donna is saying, I am in Connecticut, so the trip is a trip for her, but she's not going.
Oh, okay. So. She's not going.
All right. So. All right.
So
then it's just Shatner you're meeting. So you don't really, you just met Bacula. So Scotty Bax.
Right.
So.
Come on, Scotty Bax. I got Scotty Bax. What do I need Shatner for?
My credit card has a picture of me and Shatner on it.
John writes, I agree about it being a proof of concept, and I think a tighter script would have served this series well, but not as entertaining as I had hoped. Overall, John gives it 2.8.
Okay.
Locked spaceship doors out of 5.
Okay.
So thank you, John, for that. Yeah, I feel like I brought as much to this to make me a bit more critical of the project than I might otherwise have been. So I want to give it the benefit of the doubt. Some of the problems could be Chris problems. So I don't want to chastise this too much because of that.
Writing problems?
Some.
Story problems?
Some. I can be, and I think we've discussed that throughout.
But I think everything else was spot on and amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody in the production should be so proud of the work they did.
Yes,
100%. I just wish it had one more polish draft. I don't know. Something.
Well, I mean, so I'm looking forward to anything they do like this. Mm-hmm. We're probably not going to get anything like this ever again. Let's just be
probably
realistic.
Not with the new bosses and the new things. I'm hoping if we get anything out of this whole takeover and kabillionaires owning Paramount, I'm hoping they're going to remaster Deep Space Nine and Voyager. That's the only thing I'm hoping for.
Maybe they'll figure that out.
If not, my eyes are going downhill anyway, so I won't know. By the time they come out clear, it'll still be blurry.
There we go. And if your eyes are going downhill, we want to know about it here on Trek Exploration. Let us know what you think about Albie's eyes, about the Wrath of Khan series, Star Trek Khan. Please do so right here on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@TrekExploration. Tell us in the comments down below. And you can also
Hype
this video. Hype it if you're watching
Please hype it.
And if you'd like to support the show, please do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/TrekExploration. There you'll
find
our membership tiers. There are so many. Go check them out over there. Patreon.com/TrekExploration. Thanks one and all to our Trek Explorers and to everybody else that is someone that supports the show just by liking, subscribing, sharing. Share Trek Exploration with all of
you. It helps so much. Subscribe. We're almost at the mustache.
We're going to do the mustache thing. You see, I'm kind of scruffy now.
I shaved tonight right before the show.
Wait till I grow my mustache.
I got the grease. I'm keeping it golden.
Make my wife mad.
Pony boy.
Bring us to 1,000 subscribers so we can grow out our mustaches.
Suggests how bad the mustaches are going to be. You know.
Oh, I think I might
mustache,
go
full handlebar.
I might go full handlebar. I don't know.
Wax it out to here.
Could be. We could do the whole Snidely Whiplash thing.
Yep, all
you
of
never
them.
Know. You just have to wait and see. Please follow us on our socials. That's at trexploration.bluesky.social. I think we're at trexplorationpod on Insta, maybe?
Sure.
Just look up Trek Exploration on Insta where they're
as
well. Send us an email. Send us some photos. Send us what your thoughts are. Send us a voicemail. That's trexplorationpod@gmail.com. You can also send us anything you'd like to our P.O. Box. That's P.O. Box 542, Bayport, New York, 11705. Last time I got something in the P.O. Box, they were these amazing pictures that you see behind me from Listen
Live. I got something to send you.
Oh, you got something to send me,
It's in the mail. Or should I surprise you?
I like it. You can also see that Janeway coffee over my shoulder. That came from the Omnipotent Willard. So,
the Omnipotent Willard!
And the cup and everything. And you can also support the show in a one-time fashion through these PayPal, Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, the whole nine.
All of it. And that's the same thing to send Rennie to space camp. I think we need about $668 left.
$668. There we go. So that's Space Station 668.
Yep. Huntsville, Alabama, this May.
It's going to be so great, that kid. That kid's going to have, I can't think of a better person to go to space camp.
My kidney if I have to. If you guys need a kidney, let me know. I mean, my kid wants to go to space camp. I'm getting her to space camp one way or another.
I would sell your kid's knee to get your kid to space camp. That kind of works.
She probably
give
up her knee.
That's kind
of. She's got floating patellas anyway. She inherited those, not from me.
Floating patella sounds like an avant-garde dance troupe. Anyway.
I have so many questions about Star Trek Khan, and we didn't get to them. But we talked for 2 hours about these damn episodes.
I know. So, I mean, these questions will never be answered. Never. It's just like, why? Yeah. So,
Anyway, so please tell us what you think, and thank you everyone and all who have participated in this live chat with us today. We had such a great response, such a great turnout.
We really
a random Wednesday. Yes. And here we are. It's now Thursday.
And we'll be doing more of these shows, right? Just not about Con, right? Chris, what are we doing next?
Oh, we have so many episodes of Star Trek Scouts that we have to discuss.
Star Trek Scouts! Woo!
We love Star Trek Scouts, and
we'll be hitting those big time.
Once again, if you haven't watched our episodes on Star Trek Scouts, you're missing some of the best potting we've ever done.
I think so.
Some of the funniest shit we've ever done.
I know when Rennie's pretending to be asleep because she's listening to our podcast and she's laughing her ass off.
So
the Star Trek Scouts.
Star Trek Scouts.
I think she might be our biggest fan.
So yeah, I think she might be. So worthy of all the knees that we're going to sell.
So we'll be back and we'll be doing things sooner rather than later because I think we're both healthy right now.
Yeah, we're feeling better. I'm feeling much better. Come on, guys. I want to come back in. I'm feeling much better.
So thank you for bearing with us over this past 10 days or so for the drought. Hopefully you enjoyed a rerun.
And listen, Linda's writing about the disco ball. I guess she's going to the disco ball.
Ooh.
I'm not sure I know. I'm not sure I know the reference.
Oh, maybe that's an episode that we haven't seen of Star Trek Scouts yet. I think I'm one or two behind, maybe.
We're like many behind. That's true. That's true. We're like Pickle Pinata behind.
Yeah, Pickle Pinata. That's the next one. I don't know if we want to combine them. I like the hour-long.
No, I like the hour-long deep dives.
Yeah, because you got a deep dive. You got a deep dive.
We'll figure it out.
Thank you for everyone joining us live, and thank you for following us and being part of the crew. And I think that about wraps it up for tonight, unless you got anything else to say, Chris?
I just want to thank everybody as well. Thank you for I'm floored that we have so many people that stuck with us for 2 hours to talk about Con.
It's fun to be back. And Ren Schmidt, give us a call.
Yeah, please. Margo. We want to know about For All Mankind season 5 or 4.
Hi, Bob. Okay, so for Trek Exploration, I'm Albie.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next time.
Because I've got faith of the Con. Knowing where my heart is.
You gotta do some Enterprise. Because I got a lot of Enterprise action figures. Should I print that 6 foot NX-01, Chris?
Yes,
I really want to print a 6 foot Voyager. Bye, guys.
Bye, Donna.
Thank you, Donna, for joining us. Join our crew. Like, subscribe, all that stuff.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who joins.
Yes, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. And Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you,
Captain Game Show. Thank you, Christian.
It was really nice to see you, Stacy. I'm glad.
Buffalo Taco, everyone that joined us. We thank you so much.
Taco. Daljo, Christian Daljo.
Christian Daljo. Big fan.
Big fan.
I think we're good. I'm gonna hit stop. Bye, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Nighty night, rabbits.